Let's turn in our hymn books to hymn 54. Great God of wonders, all thy ways are worthy of thyself divine. These are powerful words. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and so free? These are wonderful words. We bid you welcome to God's house this evening. And we're looking to him that he'll be with us as we're met in his name. But let's stand and let's sing hymn 54 right from our hearts to the glory of God. Hymn 54. Hearts and our minds, and just come into the presence of the Lord and seek his help. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we do thank and praise thee afresh this evening for the words that we have even been singing together. Who is a pardoning God like thee? We are so aware that the pardon we enjoy is pardon through Jesus' blood. And we pray even this evening as we are met together in thy name, met together around the gospel, that we would ever be mindful of the pardon we have in and through Jesus Christ. We have no other argument. We have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. And Father in heaven, we thank and praise Thee for this great plan of salvation again this evening. We thank Thee that though we were dead in trespasses and sins, Thou in Thy love and mercy didst draw us unto Thyself. We're so thankful that we can be confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in us will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that those of us who are saved can never be lost. We're thankful that no one can pluck us out of the hand of our Saviour. And we praise Thee for this marvellous truth, this marvellous privilege. We thank and praise Thee that we can know we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we look to Thee full of thanksgiving tonight. We do come and pray that Thou wouldst even cleanse us afresh as we come to worship. We pray for Thy help and Thy hand upon us. We pray that we would even enter into worship with the correct heart, with the heart that is pure. We pray that the distractions of the week past, the thoughts of the week to come, would be set to aside even just for this hour. That our minds and our hearts would be taken up with Thee, with the Saviour, with the Gospel. And Father, we look to Thee, those of us who have been saved perhaps for a long time, and still we need to look to Thee and to see our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, afresh. We pray that the Gospel will come to us tonight with power. It will refresh our weary souls, that we will be thrilled afresh when we consider the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Father, how Thou knowest that we can grow weary as believers. And we need to be reminded of the Gospel. We look to Thee and we pray for any who may be with us tonight and are yet outside of Christ. And they've been coming here for many years. And they have heard the Gospel preached. And they know the way of salvation. And still, they're not saved. O Father, that Thou wouldst lay hold upon them tonight. That Thou wouldst draw them unto Thyself. That tonight they would throw down their puny arms of rebellion. They would see that there is no hope in their life outside of Christ. That they would come. Come unto Me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, the Saviour says, and I will give you rest. We pray that every soul would know that rest tonight. We pray, Father in heaven, for those who are come amongst our number to sing tonight. We pray that Thou wouldst bless them, encourage them, give them strength. We pray for every part of this service. Help us as a congregation to sing unto Thee with full hearts. Help us as we read Thy Word, that we would be so conscious that it is the Word of God before us. And we pray that we would listen to the preaching of Thy Word. Listen to see what Thou hast to say to us. We're mindful tonight of so many other faithful gatherings such as this one, up and down our land, right across this world, and faithful men are seeking to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray for those faithful men, that they would know Thy presence and Thy help. Father, that Thou wouldst help them and assure them, and that they would know power of the Holy Ghost as they seek to present the truth. We pray as the seed is sown. We pray that it will take root. And even if the seed does not spring forth tonight, that in weeks' time, in months' time, in years' time, that seed will spring forth. Because Thy Word will not return void. We look to Thee, Father. Salvation is of the Lord. We pray for the pastor in this place. We pray for him tonight in Market Hill. Bless him, encourage him. Indeed, bring him back safely tonight. And may he and this people go forward together in the coming weeks and months and years. May they see much established and done to the glory of God here. O Father, remember Thy witness here. Remember Thy people. Remember Thy people who would dearly love to be here tonight, but they cannot be. Encourage them where they are. May they know a special sense of Thy presence. And Father, tonight we even pray for that great land of India. We pray for Thy people and for Thy sovereign will. O God, be with us. Help us now as we worship. Spirit of the living God, fall down upon this gathering, upon every soul. Deal with us. for Christ's sake. Amen. This time, can I invite George and Jennifer to come forward and to bring the first piece they have for us this evening.
There's always something. Yes, it is connected. Alright. Mm. Suppose you'd probably bring a piece of paper just in case. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace have been, beyond my first belief. My chains are gold, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rained on ending love. Amazing grace. Has promised good to me. His word, my hope secure. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gold, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains on ending love. Amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns on ending love. Amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever.
Thank our brother and sister very much for reminding us of the grace of God. Ephesians 1 verse 7 reminds us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We are so thankful for the grace of God. So thank you, brother and sister. We will hear from you again in a few moments' time. But in the meantime, if we could take our scriptures and turn to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. We want to turn to the 20th chapter. The Acts of the Apostles and the chapter 20. We have an account here of Paul's journeys. And as he is journeying here, we get to Acts 20. And we see he is addressing the elders at the church at Ephesus. So he's writing here to the church at Ephesus. Acts chapter 20. And we break in to the chapter at verse 17. Acts 20 and the verse 17. Paul, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Amen. We end our reading there, again knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word. At this stage, can I ask our brother to come forward and bring the announcements for the incoming week.
Well, to each and everyone gathered tonight, we do give you a very warm welcome to the service, and we trust that God will bless you. If you're a visitor, we give you a warm welcome, and we trust that you will come back amongst us again. Of course, that welcome is also extended to your guest preacher today, our brother Mr. Stephen Nelson, third year student in the college, and his good wife is with him. And we certainly enjoyed, I know I did, I certainly enjoyed the ministry this morning, and we look forward this evening to the word that will be preached in the gospel. We'd like to thank George and Jennifer as well for coming and singing to us this evening. Just let me run quickly through the work of God here in the church through the incoming week. Monday morning, the little sunbeams, parents and toddlers group at the usual time. Awana wasn't mentioned this morning, but I've checked and I understand it is on, weather permitting, tomorrow night. You had the winds today. The snow is tomorrow, so I think it's weather permitting, just to see how things go. But I'm sure the workers will know all about that. Tuesday night, children's meeting, 7 o'clock. The boys and girls will be in under the sound of the word. Then at 8 o'clock, the missionary prayer meeting. A change from what was originally announced, but our brother, Mr. Chris Killen, will be along to speak about his work among those with addiction. There will be a presentation, and then there will be an offering for that work in the special missionary prayer meeting on Tuesday night. Please do come out, support our brother, and do come and hear, and keep yourselves updated with the work that he's doing. Thursday night at 8 o'clock, the Christian Workers Academy continues in the church hall. And that rota for the ladies to help with refreshments is out in the hallway there. If you can help, some nights still to be covered. If you could look at that rota, your help would be gratefully appreciated. Friday night at 8 o'clock, the youth fellowship, and they're continuing the theme of discipleship, and the Reverend Smiley will be there to continue that theme and to bring a word, and then there'll be time for fellowship and refreshments afterwards, and all the youth are welcome to come. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school Bible class at 10 o'clock, family worship at 11:30. Our own minister, the Reverend Smiley, will be continuing the series in the prophecy of Isaiah. Of course, that meeting is preceded at 11 o'clock by the time of prayer. 2:30, the meeting in Beachfield Nursing Home. 3:30, the prayer meeting for revival. 7 o'clock, the gospel service. Again, our own minister will be here to preach in the will of God, and the singers on that occasion will be the Ballygown Trio. Susan, Nessie, and Joe will be here. And again, the time of prayer, 6:30, before the evening service. Next Sunday, there are Missionary Council retiring offerings at both services, please. One final announcement, just remember, the church dinner, Friday night, the 21st of February, 6:45, for a clear start at 7 o'clock. The menus are still available. Look at them, pick one up, get them filled out, return with the money, of course, and payment to Mervyn or Robert. The latest date is next Sunday. So if you could bear that in mind, invite others to come and come along and enjoy a night of fellowship. I think these are all the announcements at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, brother, for making those announcements. Can I thank the session here for the invitation to be here? I do appreciate the opportunity. And can I thank you all for your warm words of welcome at the door this morning and your words of encouragement? Appreciate that very much indeed. Our offering hymn this evening is hymn 58. 58, Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Hymn 58, we will remain seated initially as a tithe and offering for God's worker gathered. Hymn 58, remaining seated. Final verse, standing for the final verse.
Holy righteousness, I know,
again, could I invite our brother and sister, George and Jennifer, to come forward and to minister to us in song.
I'm satisfied with just the cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the rising will shine, I want that gold one. That silver line, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old, and someday yonder we'll never more wander. Walk on streets that are pure as gold. Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm having fun. I'm but a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we'll never more wander, but walk on streets that are pure as
I thank George and Jennifer again for singing to us tonight. What a marvelous thing it is to be able to sing of a future. We're just passing through this world. As believers, we have a hope within us over Jesus Christ, and an assurance and a peace that we will be with Him in heaven for all eternity. It is a prayer of our hearts, and that if you're here outside of Christ, you too will leave tonight with that assurance, a home in heaven, and a friend and a Savior and a Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you very much, brother and sister, for coming, for singing. We appreciate that very much indeed. Acts 20, and we look this evening at the verse 21. Acts 20 and the verse 21 says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. With those words before us, let's just still our hearts, bow in prayer, and ask for the Lord's help and the Lord's blessing. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we thank and praise Thee afresh this evening that so many of us know we have a home in heaven, that we're just passing through this world, that we are pilgrims in this world, following after our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us thus far tonight, but we come this evening now to Thy Scriptures, and we pray for Thy help. We know that Thy Word is powerful. We know that it is like a double-edged sword. We know it is the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And Father, so many of us can testify that Thy Word has broken our heart in pieces in times past. And through Thy Word we realized, we were taught that we were sinners deserving hell. But through Thy Word, the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed unto us. We pray now that the Spirit of God would come and work and speak through Thy Word, and that sinners in this gathering would realize their need of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, that souls would be saved. Again, I pray for help for myself. I will not do anything or say anything that would bring dishonor upon my Savior's name. Father, help me to speak plainly and simply and clearly. Father, help me to preach the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Keep me faithful. What I pray for myself, I pray for brethren standing in pulpits up and down the land, even in these moments. Lord, come and be with us. Spirit of God, come down and minister and speak and challenge. And may we leave this building tonight looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Perhaps you like to watch legal dramas. Maybe that's one of your interests, or maybe even you work in the legal profession and you will have an idea of how a court of law works. Maybe if you're being honest, you have been in a court of law, perhaps for the wrong reasons on occasion. And you've been there and you've seen the process. A witness is called to the stand. And as he comes to the stand, before he is allowed to utter a word, he has to take some kind of oath. And perhaps a copy of the scriptures will be there, and he will have to place his hand upon those scriptures. Or I believe in the United States, perhaps he has to raise his hand in the air and swear before men and before Almighty God that the evidence he is going to give is accurate, it is true. He knows it is accurate and true because it is his own experience. I am told if individuals feel uncomfortable taking such an oath, they can take an affirmation, which essentially is the same thing. You are saying the words that I am speaking are truth. I have experienced it. I'm not making this up. And of course, the fact that the individual has to come and take that affirmation or take that oath before they utter a word, it brings gravity to the situation. They're reminded that the words they speak are serious. This is a serious situation. What you say must be accurate. It must be true. There are serious consequences. The fact of the matter is the testimony that a witness bears could condemn a man to prison or set a man free. Indeed, in the United States of America, in other countries, it could condemn a man to death or let that man go free. And so an oath, an affirmation, or something like that is taken. Gravity comes to the situation. You're reminded this is serious. And then you're allowed to testify. We come, as I have said this evening, to Acts, the chapter 20 and the verse 21. And it says there, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is Paul's testimony. The word testifying there, it carries the meaning of attesting or confirming or witnessing. The words that he is speaking, well, he knows it to be true. He has seen it. He has witnessed it for himself. He believes it. He has experienced it. What has he believed? What has he experienced? What does he know for certain is true? The gospel. The gospel. He is attesting repentance toward God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Serious. What he is saying is true. In verse 20 there, we read that He kept nothing that was profitable. He kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house. In verse 26 he says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And he's saying here, what I am saying to you is serious. And I have been faithful. I have been accurate in the testimony that I bring to you in the gospel. It's true. I have experienced it for myself, and now I am sharing it with you. I am sharing it with you faithfully. And so as we come to his testimony this evening, in this verse 21, we simply consider a message for all. Because that's what we see in verse 21. A message for all. And immediately when we consider this message for all, we have to remark there is a uniformity among men. There's a uniformity among men. The verse 21 says, both to Jews and to Greeks. Jews and Greeks. The Hebrews denoted this saying as meaning essentially the whole human race. Everyone. Those who are Jews and those who are Gentiles. All are included. And so Paul is saying here, I have brought this message of the gospel to everyone I meet. Whether he be a Jew, whether he be a Gentile. I haven't made any difference. I have brought this message to all men because all men need to hear it. Regardless of who they are. All men need to hear this message because all men have something in common. Sin. Sin. And we know that to be correct in the life, in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. You think about how he conducted his ministry. When he arrived in a new place, often it was his practice to go firstly to the synagogue, to the Jewish people. And then after that he would go out among the Gentiles. You remember when he was shipwrecked, he ended up on the Isle of Melita. Pagan people, Gentiles, what did he do? He preached the gospel to them. You remember how Paul the Apostle argued that Gentile Christians don't need to go along with the ceremonies of Judaism anymore. He treated every man the same. Whether they were Jew, whether they were Gentile, the message they needed to hear was the same. It's the message of the gospel. Why? Because all men are sinners. All of us. We can look around us this evening. We can see so many differences even in this gathering. We can see so many differences in this town, in this land in which we live. The places we come from, the jobs we do. The colour of our skin, our accents. So many differences. And yet there is a uniformity among us all because we're all sinners. That's what we all have in common. Despite our differences, we're all sinners. It doesn't matter what class you consider yourself to be. It doesn't matter how refined you consider yourself to be. It doesn't matter how much money you have, the home you live in, the car you have. The most wealthy man is a sinner just like the pauper in the street. Our sin condemns us. Our sin deserves to be punished. We know we deserve the wrath of God upon us because of our sin. And that being the case, the Apostle Paul brings this message, this testimony of faith and repentance, to Jews and to Gentiles, to all men, for we're all the same, we're all sinners. Despite our differences. Romans 3:23, that verse many of us will have learned in Sunday school days. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The verse does not say some have sinned. It does not say a few have sinned. It does not even say the majority have sinned. All have sinned. The scripture could not be any plainer. This could not be stated in any simpler form. And what the Bible is doing then is telling you and telling me that we're sinners. You may sit in your seat this evening and look around you. Look at other people in this gathering. And you may say, well, I have not committed the sin that that individual has. I am not guilty of the same things that they have done. Indeed, their transgressions are far worse than mine. That may even be true. And I could go into your locality and I could talk to your neighbours and to your friends and to the people that you live among, and they can say, well, you're a good person. You're always there when I need you. You seek to do your best. No one has a bad word to say about you. Maybe you've never been in trouble. Never been in trouble with the authorities. Never even set foot inside a courthouse. You consider yourself to be a good person. And yet, the Bible reminds us that all our righteousnesses, the good things we try to do, are as filthy rags in the eyes of a holy God. We ask ourselves the question, do we tell lies? Have we told lies? Have we had those thoughts that we ought not to have had? Have we said something that we shouldn't? I say to you tonight, take your eyes off other people and compare yourself against the righteousness of Almighty God. And doing that, you will see that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. There's a great uniformity among us. Whether Jew or Gentile, we're all sinners. Turn with me to Revelation and the chapter 7. Revelation and the chapter 7, we have here John's vision of a future time. Revelation chapter 7 and the verse 9, John says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And here we see God's people gathered, and they're from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. And what unites God's people here is the fact that they are all sinners, but they are all clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what unites them. You see, there's a great uniformity among men, because all men are sinners. And there's a great uniformity among God's people. We're all sinners redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. One commentator comes to this verse in Acts chapter 20, and he points out that these two words could mean different things. They could represent different things. We read the word Jews there, and that could represent those people who go along and they follow religion. They're found in God's house every week. It's the place to be. It's a Sabbath day. We should be in God's house. They follow a form of religion, but it's dead. It's empty. We know people like that. Week after week, they're in God's house. It's a place to be, but they're not saved. There's no transformation in their life. They don't live for the Savior. Empty religion. Dead. We see the word Greeks there in the verse 21, and the commentator says, well, that could refer to those who seek to live according to the culture of the day. And we see that, don't we? We look around us in the world and we see those people who follow the fashions and the fads of the age in which we live. And they're not worried about morality, they're not worried about the scriptures, they're not worried about the truth of the Bible, of the gospel. They live for what they want to live for. They believe in what they want to believe, and they say, that's fine, and don't you dare question me. And whether this evening, unsaved person, you go along with some kind of empty religion, or you reject religion and you live for this world, you're still a sinner. Because that's something we all have in common. Jew or Greek, Jew or Gentile, there's a great uniformity here among us. All sinners. Of course, I cannot move on this evening without pointing out that there is a challenge here for the believer. You see, we read in verse 21 that Paul testifies of the truth of the gospel to the Jew and also to the Greek. He doesn't make a difference. Treats everyone the same. We have to be honest, Christian. There are times when we feel that we know we have to evangelize and speak to someone who is lost, but we don't particularly like that person. And maybe it's someone in the workplace and they've offended us. And we're hurt. Maybe it's some kind of sectarianism. We don't want to go out with the message of the gospel to those people. Paul the Apostle took the message of the gospel to all. He treated all the same. And believer, you remember, when your enemy is converted by God's grace, when your enemy is saved, he is no longer your enemy, he's your brother. And you keep that in your mind when you go to reach out in the gospel, even when you don't like individuals, even when it's hard, even when they're challenging individuals. Galatians 3:28 reminds us there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And so we go forward with the gospel to all men, as Paul did. A great uniformity among men. But secondly, we notice as we look at verse 21 this evening, repentance towards God. That's what the verse says. Repentance toward God. You know, it's sad to say that too often we hear of those who claim they're reaching out in the gospel. Perhaps more so it is the case in the United States. And perhaps a great tent is erected. And there's much publicity. Many people are gathered in, they're invited in, they attend, and the so-called evangelist takes to the stage and he preaches. All very dramatic. And he says, if you would just pray a certain prayer, if you would just ask the Lord Jesus to save you, then he will. He will never let you go. And then you can go back into your lives, into your sin, and that's fine. You're safe. No change in your life. And there's no mention of repentance. And yet we see here in the gospel, in Mark chapter 1 and the verse 14 and 15, what does the Lord Jesus Christ preach? Faith and repentance. What does Paul say here in Acts 20, verse 21? Repentance and faith. There must be repentance. There must be repentance if you are to be saved. Repentance is that change of mind, a change of heart. The sin that was once committed is despised. It's despised because it is abhorrent and obnoxious in the eyes of a holy God. We realize that our sin offends God. There is that sorrow within our hearts. Not just at the consequences of our sin, but because we have offended God. And there is that earnest resolution within our hearts when we repent that we will make every effort that we possibly can to be done with sin, to leave it behind, to change our ways. No more. No longer will we serve Satan. Now we will be slaves to our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. One commentator says, repentance is something more than a passing feeling. Unless we are doing our best to shake off the power of sin, it is useless to say that we repent. And we do well to remember that, believer. Because you and I who are Christians, we are to live a life of repentance. We are to be constantly examining our hearts and our motives. Challenging ourselves. And seeking to rid ourselves of those sins that we continue to struggle with even as Christians. Repentance is a way of life for the Christian. But we notice it says here in verse 21 that this repentance is toward God. Why is that the case? Because every sin that we commit, first and foremost, is against God. It's a breaking of His law. And yes, when we sin, when we sin against the Lord, we may offend other people. We may hurt other people. There may be consequences for those around us and for ourselves. But first and foremost, when we sin, we break the law of God. Isn't that what Psalm 51 reminds us of? That great psalm of repentance. David the murderer. David the adulterer. Psalm 51 verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And he comes to the Lord and he confesses. Yes, a man has been killed. Yes, I've committed adultery. But first and foremost, I've sinned against thee, Lord. And the one who seeks to genuinely repent acknowledges that only God can pardon. It is God who has been offended. It is only God who can pardon. And the one who seeks to genuinely repent bows before the Lord and seeks His mercy. Seeks His mercy. I ask you this evening, has there been that time of repentance in your life? Oh yes, we said that the Christian life is a constant life of constant repentance. But has there been that time in your life where repentance began? Where you sought to turn away from your sin? Where you sought for what it really was? Where you sought to leave it behind? And to look instead to the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there been that time? John G. Patton was a missionary to the New Hebrides. He lived a very dangerous, a very exciting life. But prior to leaving these shores to go to the New Hebrides, he was a missionary in Glasgow City. In his diary, he records speaking with a man he refers to as an infidel. Or as we would probably say today, perhaps an atheist. And this man was strong in his beliefs. He sought to go out and hand out tracts that sought to prove there was no God. He sought to give out books that would prove there is no God. He sought to preach atheism on the streets. But this man was struck down with an illness, and his wife was extremely concerned. And so his wife called for John G. Patton, the missionary. Patton visited with the man. He read the scriptures with the man. He prayed with the man. And the Lord moved in the heart of that man. And the Lord saved him. And that man bitterly regretted his past. He bitterly regretted all that he had done. The falsehood he had sought to promote. Indeed, he sought to gather in all that false literature that he had sent out. As much of it as he could. And these are the words that he said to Patton. Since you were here last, I gathered together all my infidel books. My wife locked the door, till she and my daughter tore them to pieces. And I struck the light that reduced the pile to ashes. There's repentance. There's a man who was coming to the end of his life. The sickness was coming in. He had only days, weeks to live. And yet the repentance was clear for all to see. Uniformity among men. We're all sinners. Message we all need to hear. But what is this message? It's repentance and one more thing. Faith. That's what we see finally when we come to this verse. Verse 21. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith. You see, there must be repentance and faith if we are to be saved. It's often said that faith and repentance are the two sides of the one coin. Sometimes, you know, when we speak to those who maybe know little of the gospel, maybe they don't come to church, maybe they don't belong to a gospel preaching church, and you speak to those people of faith, they seem to have some kind of strange attitude. It's like faith is something that's mysterious. You can't just quite grasp what you're getting at. But the truth of the matter is, faith is simple. We exercise faith each and every day. So many examples. The boy believes, he trusts in the love of his parents. The pupil trusts that the teacher has knowledge, greater knowledge. The youth trusts his friend to keep a secret. The farmer trusts and believes that the seasons will continue to rotate. The patient believes that the physician knows how to cure him. Examples of faith. And yet we meet these people and they say, well, I would love to have this faith, but I'm much too logical, much too scientific in my approach and in my mind. And yet we exercise faith each and every day. Faith is that simple resting. If we are to be saved, we must exercise faith. If we are to escape the punishment that we know we deserve, for we're all sinners, we must exercise faith. If you are to be saved, yes, you must look away from your own sins, your own wickedness, but you look towards Jesus Christ in faith. For he lived that life you never could. You place your trust in him, on him, in his finished work. You trust and believe that he lived that perfect life. He paid the price for sinners. He paid the price for me. You accept him. Receive him as Savior and Lord and Master. You must not simply believe that he is a historical figure. You must not simply believe that he is the Son of God, even that he is able to save. No, the faith that saves is trust, it's confidence that he died for you. That on the cross of Calvary, he was your substitute. That on the cross of Calvary, he bore your sin and your guilt. Do you have that kind of faith tonight? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say that he paid the price for me? Therefore, he is my Savior, my Redeemer, my Lord and my King. So we have this evening this message given for all men. There's a uniformity among us. We're all sinners. We all need to hear this message. And the message that Paul brings is repentance. Turning away from our sins, leaving it behind. And faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way of salvation. And the outworking of that, of course, is the calling on the Lord. Calling upon him for his mercy and salvation. Romans 10 verse 9 reminds us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we see Paul's testimony here tonight. A message for all men. He's been faithful in bringing this testimony. He's told the truth, for he's experienced this salvation for himself. And he says all men need to hear this message of salvation, for all are sinners. And the message of salvation is simple. Repent from your sin. Place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and call upon him for mercy. Paul's been faithful in sharing this message. Now, will you listen to his testimony? Will you tonight even repent and believe? Let's pray. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we thank and praise thee afresh this evening for the message of the gospel. We are a privileged people. We have this message before us. We thank thee for the truth that is contained in thy word. We thank thee that Paul was faithful in recording this message. Father, it is the prayer of our hearts that if there be someone in this gathering outside of Christ, that they will exercise repentance and faith in Christ. And they will call upon Him for mercy tonight. Father, we pray that Thou wouldst be with us in the coming week, that Thou wouldst take us to our homes in safety tonight. Remember, in the coming week, with all the challenges the weather brings, and we pray that the blessing of the Triune God would rest and remain upon us until the Savior comes or calls us home. Amen.